Hello, everybody. Welcome to Girl on the Move. This is season two of The Girl Records. Did I pronounce it differently last time? Almost certainly. Look, the point is that it's both. Anyway, hi, my name's Hannah Darkling. It'll just be me and you today, and I think we're going to have a really good time. I can't make a promise like that this early, but I'm going to. So I'm back in the podcasting corner, ready to talk about my life. It's so funny because the last one I recorded of this, I was like, yeah, I got medicated. Yeah, I can't really afford to go to therapy more than once a month. Still medicated, completely cancelled therapy because can't afford it at all. There's a lot of things I said in the last episode that immediately have changed. And I think actually that's part of it, right? Is these are things that maybe I've been thinking about or engaging with for a long time. But as soon as I say them out loud, I suddenly have to engage with, is this true? Is this a reality that I want to continue with? And what I found is most of the time, the answer is no. So I think that's probably going to be part of the learning of this process for me, mainly. Sorry to be selfish about it. But I think realistically, I'm going to end up saying a lot of things out loud, then recognizing, hey, maybe I don't like that. Or hey, maybe I do like that. And that process is going to inform how I live much of my next few weeks before I record the next podcast. So I think I want to step back from, oh, I said it and now it's not true. And oh, what does that say about me? But well, it was true then. It was true when I said it then and it isn't anymore. So I'm not in therapy. So I'm back in the podcasting corner. Here to tell you all the things, all the worms in my brain, one by one, are going to come up to the microphone and they're just going to let you know what's been going on with them, what they've been noodling on. Oh. So I guess the first thing that I am desperate to talk about and think about and kind of, you know, ruminate on and work out through this process is I went home-ish again-ish. I can't really commit to I went home again because I don't really know what that means conceptually when the house I moved out of to come to Melbourne has been sold and a different family lives there now. Anyway, so what happened was... What had happened was, so I knew that there was this writer's weekend happening in Sydney, and I knew for months, I knew from the beginning of the year what date it was locked in on. And I had said, I can't afford to go. I can't take the time off work. I'm just going to Zoom in. And there was just something about the few weeks, well, maybe even like the week and a half leading up to it, where I was like, I don't want to do that on Zoom. I don't want to do two full days of responding to people's scripts on Zoom because it's a screenwriting weekend and I go there and I help people develop their scripts. And sometimes I sort of like run a group and sometimes I'm part of a group. It's all a bit unclear, but it's two very long days. Each script we fully read through and then spend at least an hour, if not two, responding to. So if someone's written a full 90-page feature film, that's like 3 hours we are spending just on one person's project and usually trying to get through like three of those a day. And obviously some people don't write such long projects and we try to balance the weekend. But, you know, some of those days are like 8-hour days on a Zoom and really intellectually engaging with story structure and script development, which I do love and I want to do much more of than I do. I get paid sometimes to do it and I'd love to be paid all the time to do it, but it's exhausting. Regardless of how much you love something, it's still exhausting. So I was like, I don't want to do that on Zoom and I don't want to miss out on so much of that weekend is actually just social. It's just catching up with people you haven't seen in a really long time. So it was going to happen on Saturday, Sunday, and I started looking up like train timetables, flight costs, all of these things. And I was like, it's still too expensive. I really can't go. I don't know what I'm going to do because I don't want to attend on Zoom. It's going to suck. And then I saw an Instagram story from some actress that I follow from back when I used to work in casting. And she was like, hey, is there anybody out there who wants to drive my car from Melbourne to Sydney? And I was like, oh, I could drive her car from Melbourne to Sydney. I want to go to Sydney this weekend. And then I thought, oh, well, how will I get back? And I thought, oh, well, I'll just drive my own car back, because really I'm not interested in driving a stranger's car to Sydney. What I want to do is go to Sydney and be in my own car. So that's what I did. I think I saw the Instagram story on like Wednesday night, and then I planned it all on Thursday, and then I left Friday morning. So it was very last minute. And I went up to Sydney, and the Friday night I arrived in Sydney and I stayed with my friend. I slept on her couch, which was so awesome and amazing. And then I went to the Blue Mountains, which is where the Screenwriters Weekend was, and I paid for one night of accommodation. And then, that's a lie, I paid for two, but it was cheaper than one. Anyway, whatever. I got the cheapest room I could get at such last minute. And it was more money than I could spend, but I was like, I think it's worth it for my mental health to go and be around people that I know and like and engage with people face to face. I think it's such a different experience to being on Zoom, as I'm sure we are all aware from this pandemic. And then I think I had the Monday free, and I kind of like took some time in the Blue Mountains, and then I drove back to Sydney, and then I slept on my brother's floor that night. And then on the Tuesday, I drove back to Melbourne. So it really was like a 5-day escapade. And it was really enlightening to me about how much I have changed over the past 2 years since I moved to Melbourne. And although a lot of this podcast was supposed to be about what's it like to move and what is the process of moving, I think part of that process is reflecting on, was this a good decision? Is this the right place for me to be? What am I missing from back home or back where I used to live? And really the answer is not a lot. So the friend's couch they slept on, we speak on the phone quite often. And so I feel like our relationship hasn't dropped off as much. Would we be working creatively together if we were in the same city? Probably. But it's not to say that we couldn't do that online. We're just sort of like trying to get through life, and things can be hard sometimes. Obviously, I like seeing my brother and his partner, but I don't think our relationship is any worse off because I'm not living in the same city with him. My parents now live up in Queensland, so I didn't see them at all. And I think that's fine. I think I was okay with that. So I got to go home. And on the day, Monday, that I drove back from the Blue Mountains to Sydney, it was a massive detour to where my brother lives. But I did detour and drive past our old house, drive past the house I grew up in, drive past the house that I recorded Girl Inside in during the lockdowns. And I was going to kind of stop and pull to the side of the road and get out and like look. Obviously, I wasn't going to like walk up the driveway or anything. I think that's a bit intense and weird because other people live there now. But I had such clarity about myself and my place in the world after the weekend, doing what I love with people that I love, mostly people that I quite like. I had spent the morning in the Blue Mountains. I went for a tiny little walk and spent some time alone on this little lookout that not many people go to and looking out into nature. And I just, this sounds so stupid to say, but I was in nature and I was like, oh, I don't feel different. And that's not to say that I think I'm not able to be in touch with nature. I just find it really mind-boggling when people are like, oh, I went out into nature and I just, something changed in me and I felt so different. And I was like, I don't. But I think it's because I have that reverence all the time. Even though I don't spend a lot of time in nature, I just think I'm not emotionally disconnected from that or spiritually disconnected from that. I don't know. I think spirituality is something I haven't really explored yet and kind of I'm not really interested in exploring right now. Gives me a bit of an existential crisis. But I do think that this, oh, I'm going to go out into nature and I feel so connected, that's just not an experience that I have. So I don't know. I just had this serenity and calm from the weekend and the nature. And I drove back and it's, you know, 2 hours or an hour and 40 minutes in the car, listening to my podcasts or whatever. And then I drove past my childhood home, planning to pull over and stop. And what actually happened was I just thought, okay, that's there and I can keep going. That wasn't supposed to be metaphorical, but I think it was. Look at me go. I'm so poetic on accident. So that was a really lovely kind of realization or moment. But it didn't feel, again, it didn't feel huge. It didn't feel like this revelation of I'm past that now and I'm going to keep moving. It just felt like, okay, sure, that's just what life is now. I don't live there anymore, nor does anybody that I care about. The memories that I have from there, half of them absolutely suck. And I'm not interested in revisiting. And the ones that are good, like my nan, she hasn't lived there in over a decade. She hasn't lived there in almost 2 decades. So why am I connecting my memories of her with that place when she hasn't been in that place for so long and my memories have survived? I think it was so important for me to go home. I think it was really actually important for me to drive for 12 hours from Melbourne to Sydney. And I partly did that for my own comfort. I partly did that because I'm not great with flying. And I partly did that because it was actually going to be cheaper than flying at such a late date. Or maybe just always. Flights apparently are expensive now. As I said, I don't really fly, so I'm not really sure. But when I looked, it was going to be considerably cheaper for me to drive than it would be to plane or train my way there. And I think that those 12 hours in the car on not only the Friday, but then definitely also on the Tuesday was so important to me. And I spent a lot of time with my own thoughts. Crazy, I know. Who thought I could handle it? I didn't. And so I guess then that's the next worm who's going to come up and talk to you about what they have been noodling on, which is the worms that existed as I was driving for 12 hours. Oh, God, that tastes salty. It's like a healthy, what is it, like blackcurrant or blackberry or elderberry or something. It's one of those, drink this and it's got vitamin C and zinc and some kind of natural thing that makes you not get sick. And I don't know if it's working. It usually tastes okay, but for some reason right now it tastes really salty to me. And I'm drinking it not because I feel like I'm getting sick, but because there is somebody I work with who keeps showing up to work sick and then is like, I can't wear a mask. It's a sensory issue. And I was like, that's fine. Have sensory issues. But if you're going to be sick, do it not near everybody. And then they cough all the time. And then they like don't sanitize their hands. It's like sometimes they don't even cough into their hands. And it was like 3 days in a row that I worked with them. And I was like, this is just fucking disgusting. And I'm not interested in getting sick. Like, you might have the next few weeks off because we're going into school holidays, but I don't. I'm part-time. I got shit to do and I have to turn up for work like over the next few weeks. So anyway, that's why I'm drinking the disgusting salty drink. And I don't know. I just have such strong feelings about this person and coming to work sick and kind of clearly not caring about anybody else and the impact they have on anybody else and the way that they talk about their own life and their own experience, like really is into that. And there's no point in me going into like details because you don't care. It's just me complaining about someone that I work with. But it is frustrating to me when I would like to get over my frustration with somebody. I would like to see the good side in somebody. I would like to give people the benefit of the doubt. But they just keep doing things that piss me off. And you're like, you don't realize how much I'm not trying to keep a scorecard of all of your annoyingnesses, all of the frustrations I have with you. But I am, and I can't help but notice, even though I don't know the number because I'm trying not to keep score, I am noticing that all of them are in the I hate you column. And I'm really trying to step back from like the ledge on that and be more reasonable and be, I don't know, cautious in my thinking and not as extreme or black and white. But it is really hard when somebody just clearly doesn't care about anybody else. And that's just how they live their life. And I just have to like let it go. Am I going to be good at that? Probably not. If anyone has any tips on letting things go, please, please let me know. Because it's something I've struggled with for most of my life. It's like letting stuff go. And I don't really know how to do it. And in the past, when I have done it, I don't really know how I have done it. And I've definitely spoken about this before on this podcast, on The Girl Records, probably Girl Inside sometime. I can't remember what episode. But I still, it's like 2 years later plus, and I still can't do it. I keep seeing these TikToks, which are like, oh yeah, I'm back on TikTok, by the way. Back to things I said in the last episode aren't true anymore. Lol, me being like, I'm off social media, I hate TikTok. And now I'm like, nah. I spent 2 12-hour blocks alone with my own thoughts and it can never happen again. And so now I'm back watching TikToks and making a few, but mostly watching. And I keep seeing ones that are like, here are some tips for surviving your 20s. And I'm like, I don't know why the algorithm thinks I'm in my 20s. But guess what? My tip for surviving your 20s is literally just be alive at the end of them. Because I didn't survive them. And I was not very good at my 20s. At a real bad time. And that's actually fine now. Like, I'm 33 and that's fine. I'm about to be 34 and it's like, yeah, my 20s kind of like were messy and sucked. And I didn't survive them, really. I was very hurt by them. Like, sure, I made it out alive, but I was pretty traumatized and hurt. And even though I started trying to heal towards the end of my 20s, I didn't really succeed at that. And I wasn't really good at that until the last few years. And like, I'm only just new and learning at the healing. So the answer to surviving your 20s is just make it out alive. And I promise you, you will start to heal in a much more healthy way once you hit 30. I think the only thing I've ever let go of really is my marriage and my ex-husband, which outrageously is maybe the most, well, top three traumatic things in my life. Sorry. It does make me laugh that I have to wheel back. It's the most traumatic thing in my life. And I'm like, hold on a second. Actually, everybody, just wait. There's a lot of things. So yeah, definitely traumatic. But I just remember wanting to get away from a place of being all consumed by hatred. And I ended up a few years later. And again, I'm not really sure how. I think it was thinking about it really hard, but then also trying to not think about it at all. And somehow both, or possibly one after the other. And I got to a place where I was like, oh, I just nothing you. I don't hate you. I don't like you. I'm not thankful for the trauma because it made me more resilient and into a better person. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Fuck that. No. I just nothing you. I just don't care about you. And yes, you're a horrible, evil, bad person, but that is so on you. And yes, that affected my life very negatively for a while. But guess what? It's not about you anymore. And even when I was still really broken by it, and now that I'm, you know, sort of getting through some of it, I was going to say in therapy, but as we've heard, that's over now. That sort of, and it's not even ambivalence, because I think if anyone who's watched Girl Interrupted knows, ambivalence is very strong feelings in both directions. I was very much like, no, I don't care. And I think I was play acting at that for a long time, but now I'm not. I used to like go onto his Facebook page to try to see if he had a new partner. Not because I cared that he had moved on, because I was worried that he was hurting another woman. And then I was like, how do I get in contact with her and tell her that like he's evil and bad? And I still have a desire to do that. But also it's just like, I don't care about you. I'm not going to hate stalk your Facebook page. I just don't want to know what you're doing. And if somebody did say to me, hey, I heard this news about him, I'd be like, so keep that shit to yourself. I don't need to know. That's not for me. So I was going to tell you what I thought about when I was in the car for 12 hours. And I think it was genuinely very helpful for me to be able to sit with my own thoughts and not have a screen in front of me. And I still did put on podcasts, and I still did put on music. But I actually ended up pausing them a lot so that I could think. And interestingly enough, going back to what I said at the beginning of this, I think sometimes when you say something out loud, it really does change how you feel about that thing, or makes you reckon with that thing about whether or not you want it to be true, or whether it still feels true, even though you've been holding it inside yourself for so long. I at the beginning was like, I'm going to the screenwriters weekend. I've written most of the pilot of my TV show. I would like to, because I'm in that brain space, continue working on this. How do I do that while I'm driving and I can't look at a screen? I can't type on my laptop and there's nobody here to like take notes. So what I did was I just pretended like I was explaining the plot of my episode 2 and 3 to somebody who wasn't there and giving justification for this, you know, imaginary conversation I was going to have in a day and a half at this writer's weekend and try to explain my thought process. And so I just spoke out loud for a majority of the hours that I was driving because it helped me process my thoughts and it also helped me remember what I had said. Once I'd said it out loud, and then I probably repeated myself a few times, as I'm sure you've recognized is something I do, I was able to then come to these nice, succinct dot points about what my episode was. And I basically like created a beat sheet in my head and by saying it out loud and by repeating it a few times. And so when I stopped to, you know, every 2 hours to stop, revive, survive, I managed to just type up on my phone, just like little dot points of what the episode was going to be. And so I did that a few times for like the first half of the first day. And then I kind of was done with that because I'd spent 6 hours doing it. But then I was in that space of holding space for myself and holding space for my thoughts and my emotions. And I just did more of it. I just did more speaking out loud. Do I know what any of that was? No. Do I think it was really helpful for me to have that process of whatever was going on in my head at the time and talk through it so I could, as I said, reckon with it, so I could understand myself better, so I could really verbalize what I've been going through and react to that? Yeah, I think that was so super helpful. Is that basically what therapy is for me anyway, because I just talk at somebody for 45 minutes? Yeah, a little bit. So I therapized myself. And obviously there was nobody at the end to be like, so that sounds super unhealthy. But I think to a degree, I think we know when we're being unhealthy, right? I think we know when that thing's probably a bit questionable, or like maybe I was a bit of the problem in that friendship that ended or whatever. I think we kind of know those things, or at least I do. And it's less about knowing the truth and more about accepting the truth. It's like it's in there in the back of my head. I just need to realize that, yeah, hey, that's what it is. I think it was a lot about friendship, to be honest, because before I left, I was really, really having a hard time of like, I have no friends and I don't spend time with anybody and I spend all my time alone in my apartment and everything sucks and I'm so lonely. And like, fair, I am pretty lonely in my life. Like, that's true. And that's a very real feeling that I have. But part of that is me choosing also to not reach out to people because I feel like, well, if they wanted to hang out with me, they would reach out first. Like all of this horrible stuff that I'm sure I've gone through 100 times. And if you understand, you just get it. You know, yes, I actually have friends, but I don't see them that often either because they have lives and they're busy and they have other people, or sometimes because I'm not reaching out enough. And maybe they are waiting for me to reach out because they know when I feel bad, I self-isolate. And maybe I've trained them a little bit into not reaching out first. If I want to speak to somebody, regardless of like who usually reaches out, whose turn it is to reach, if I want to hang out with somebody, I have to put that out into the world. And I think I'd been doing a really bad job of that prior to going to Sydney, going to the Blue Mountains in New South Wales. I think it was really accepting, like, yeah, I've been doing a shit job of it. And a lot of the reason I'm doing this 12-hour drive is to go see faces and go spend time with people who I like and haven't seen in a while. And a couple of people who, let's be real, I don't quite get on with, but I think it's healthy to re-engage with that. Again, maybe was I part of the problem? And in the end with those people, I was like, no, I don't think I was, as much as I have definitely been in the past, or as much as I could have been, or maybe as much as they think I was. But you know, everybody has a side to the story, so who knows? They probably think the exact opposite, that everything was my fault, you know, whatever. But was I able to go there and be civil? Yeah. Was I able to go there and have nice, fun conversations with these people who, like, I don't really necessarily want to get a beer with all the time. But I managed to do it and I wasn't a dick about it. And I didn't go home feeling like shit. And I didn't go home feeling inauthentic. And I didn't go back to my hotel room and berate myself about, like, well, why were you nice to that person? They were so mean to you a year ago. Okay. People are mean to each other all the time. Am I going to hold on to that anger? Oh my God, is this me telling a story of how I let something go? Me being like, I don't know how to let things go. Please help me. And again, I just got to this place of like, I nothing that interaction. When I think about it, I don't feel hot in my body anymore. And I'm kind of half talking about two different interactions and two different people. We don't need to get into the details. It's just about when you've had a shitty experience with a friend and you kind of have a bit of a fight and then you're like, maybe we're not friends anymore, but then you have to end up seeing each other because either you work with them or you go to school or uni with them or you're in a writer's group with them, you see them again. It's that. It's like, I have to see you, so I just have to... I don't have to get over it, but like how exhausting for me to live my life in such a reactive space and to constantly be like, oh, I'm going to see them and what's it going to be like and how's it going to feel and like worried, 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 stressed, stressed, stressed. And, you know, I did feel a bit of stress going into it because I am human. I'm not some yogi that's like, oh, like, I don't know how to meditate. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm barely alone with my thoughts ever. I know I'm kind of like, I'm oscillating back and forth in this about like, I'm fine to be alone with my thoughts now, but oh, I never do it. It's like, it's neither of those extremes. It's a gray area in the middle. I just think it's more interesting to say things in a declarative kind of extreme way. That's much more interesting in terms of storytelling. So I was worried because I'm human, but it's like with anything, you get there and you're like, okay, I thought this was going to suck, but they're just a person and I'm just a person and I kind of don't really care enough anymore to spend more energy and worry on this, so I won't. And then I didn't, and then it was fine. And like, I'm quite a sociable person, so I feel like that's within my wheelhouse. It's not like it's a skill that I feel worried about generally. Anytime I'm like, oh, what's this going to be like? And then I go and it's fine. And so it was great. And I spent the 12 hours driving up thinking about my scripts and thinking about the people I was going to see and thinking about friendships. And I think that that was very healthy for me. And so then, of course, we have the other side of the coin, which is spending 12 hours in a car driving home. And I think I spent a lot of that time thinking about family and medication and growth and change, because I had had the experience of driving past my childhood home, because I had stayed in my brother's place and then we'd gone to the beach and had this full chat, because I am on new medication and it's getting closer to a point that I feel comfortable with my dosages and things like that. I spent a lot of time thinking about how I was not going to go up to Queensland to see my parents for Christmas, but my brother and his partner are. And so how do I feel about that? And I think that was really important for me as well, to sort of, again, just come to terms with my place in the world and what I was feeling. All of this is me verbalizing out loud. And I didn't do it as much on the way home. I did listen to a few more podcasts and listen to a bit more music. But I still was doing it a little bit because it is a very helpful process. For me, verbally processing something is a lot better than just going around and around in my head and kind of getting nowhere with it. I feel like I get more places when I say things out loud. Because I do have this natural need to come to this like healthy conclusion and come to this like, and so what we learned today was, maybe I watched too much Jerry Springer when I was younger and I'm so intent on like having a final thoughts moment of like, so we wrap it up all neatly with a bow. I did genuinely watch a lot of Jerry Springer when I was younger. I don't know what was wrong with me. It was like in the school holidays, I think I just watched a lot of crappy midday TV. But not really Judge Judy, which is weird. Anyway, so I did do a lot of that kind of spending time alone with my own thoughts, which was quite helpful. But then I've come home and work has really quietened down because I work with kids and school term is ending. But I had a job interview for another job, got another job. I now have 3 jobs plus, well, so I have the job I do that I talk about a lot where I work with kids. I got another job where I'm going to work with kids. I have my script editing and development that I work freelance and I do get paid for, but I'm not doing it as much right now. And then I have another job where I should be getting paid, but I don't get paid. It's not an internship. I know that's what it sounds like. It's a job where I should be getting paid, and the agreement is that I will get paid. But then I never get paid. And then I just forgive the guy who's supposed to pay me because I like him. And I'm sure someone's going to be like, that's exploitation. It's not. It's close. I hear how it's close. But I think the line between mutually beneficial relationship and exploitation is so thin in this scenario that I'm happy to be like, either one day I'll turn around and be like, you owe me this many thousands of dollars. Or one day I'll turn around and be like, I have become so successful now because of our relationship with each other, our you know, work relationship that we have, that I don't need those thousands of dollars. It's going to be one or the other. And you know what? I'm really hoping for the second, and I'm sure that he is too. And I'm fine with that. I just, you know, I say people like, oh, it's a job, but I don't get paid. And people always look at me like I'm crazy. It's like, you know what? Sometimes things happen and I can't get caught up in the it's shit of it all. Like, yeah, it's shit. And then what? So like, what can I do about that? So fun to say all of this out loud and realize that I have become really good at letting things go. I do feel a bit like sort of a yogi. I said before, I don't meditate. I don't really do yoga. I've done some stretching in my life, not really recently. That's why all of my joints click and hurt. I do feel like that person who's like, well, if you just breathe a little bit differently, then all of your problems will go away. I don't know how I got here. I don't know the steps to like letting go of stuff. I don't know why when I went home again, I didn't cry the whole time and feel immensely, overwhelmingly like traumatized. Like, I don't know why I didn't get this flood of everything that happened in that house, good and bad. I don't know why I didn't feel all those emotions. I don't know how I got to a place of being like, I nothing you or I nothing that. I just feel sort of like whatever about it. It's like, okay, sure. I don't know how I did that. So this is not like a play by play. This is not a how-to book. I wish I could. I think that would be helpful. I think that would be a lovely Jerry Springer's final thought. But I don't have one of those because it just sort of happened naturally over time. And I do think this moment, it does make me feel a bit sad saying that out loud and realizing in this moment that this is part of why I wanted to do a play by play of moving and do a play by play of how I felt each week or each month or however often I was planning to record. Because I think if I had done that, probably the how to let things go guide would be just go listen to the last 20 episodes of this podcast. But I didn't do that. I didn't record it. And so now I don't know how it happened and I don't know how to replicate it either for myself or for anybody else. I don't know if it is replicable. So that's where we're at. I went home again. I spent some time with my own thoughts. It was very beneficial, but then I was like, now I got to watch some stuff again. Now I got to watch some TV, fill my brain back up again. And when I got home from my trip, it was right at the end of November. So it was just in time for me to get in with Tim Burton's The Night Before Christmas 1999. Because you got to watch that at some point in November to transition from the October Halloween movies and the December Christmas movies. It's the joining factor. But you got to watch it in November or else, you know, I mean, you can watch it whenever you want, but it just makes most sense to watch it in November. And I sort of enjoy these arbitrarily imposed deadlines for myself. It just like, it feels fun to create a rule for myself that's like, you've got to watch it in November or else like, lol, everything sucks and you're wrong and you failed. But in a way that like, it doesn't matter. So if I do fail, it's like, who cares? It's not real failure. I don't actually feel bad about it and I'm not going to berate myself. But it's just these like fun little games that I play. Because like I say, I do a lot of things by myself. I experience a lot of the world alone and I don't then tell many people about it. Like the friends that I see and we catch up and I tell them what I've done, even if I speak for an hour, you're getting less than 1% of the last 4 weeks of my life. You're getting so little of my interiority and my experiences in my life and I'm not sharing that with anybody. So I've got to play games to keep it interesting. So play this little game. You got to watch Nightmare Before Christmas. And I did. And then I was like, great. Then I'll start watching Christmas movies. And then I didn't think about that for 10 days. And so now I have something like 40 Christmas movies. Because there's so many that you want to watch again because they're classics or new ones that have come out or ones that come out a few years ago that I didn't watch because I don't know what I was doing with my life. I don't know why I missed them all. Now I've got to watch all these Christmas movies. And I want to, again, arbitrary, it doesn't matter, but I want to watch them in, you know, the next few weeks before Christmas. And so I now have this like Excel document of like, these are the three movies you've got to watch on a Sunday. You got to get through them. And I've grouped them, similar movies, similar vibes. So it's like, if I'm wanting a comedy kind of evening, or if I'm wanting a more rom-commy type of evening, I've got it all. I've got it all organized. I've got all the genres sorted, you know, select the heading filter in Excel so you can just see what's what. So that's what I've did. That's what I've did. And that's what I've done. And so that's the going home story. And then another thought that I've had, which I think is going to be a shorter one, is a family crest. So my surname is a surname that I made up. I was born and I got my dad's surname, and then I was married and I got my husband's surname, and then I got divorced and I was like, what could I do? And I just didn't feel like I wanted to go back to my birth surname. And I'm sure I've told this story on many platforms before, but those are the cliff notes. And my dad was a bit offended, but I did choose to change my surname to something new. And I just picked a new name that I don't think existed before. If it did, I'll be surprised. I did a lot of searching, but it's from, and I know, I'm so sorry, I am a non-recovering emo kid. I'm in stasis about it. I just guess I am an emo kid now. I'm just an aging emo kid. I'm not recovering. I'm just getting older. It's a line from the Keats poem, Ode to a Nightingale. And it starts with, darkling, I listen. For many a time I had been half in love with easeful death. And then there are so many more lines in that poem. And do I know any of the rest? You're joking me. So I literally only memorized the one that has my surname in it and then the one after it. So that's my surname, is Darkling. And I fucking love it. I don't know. There's just something about it that just feels so me. And then so much of my life, I changed my surname while I was working a job. And so people knew me as one surname, and then I changed it and they knew me as the second, and it was weird. Now people just know me as Hannah Darkling. And when I say, oh, I used to be married, or I used to have a different surname, they're like, what? They're not aware of that. So I just am this person to them, which I love. And maybe I was this person to you, which I also love. I just love being that person. I don't have a family crest because of that. There is no family crest. The surname that I grew up with is Irish, and so there is definitely a family crest. I think it's like Stags, maybe? I can't even remember. We had it around my house a little bit. Like, I think we got like a magnet or something from when someone went on holiday once, and that's it. So I've seen it. I think it's Stags. No, I'm thinking of the three lions on one of the British royal family crests, but maybe it's not the current one. Maybe it's one from hundreds of years ago. Anyway, I had a family crest, and then I'm sure that my married name, I'm sure there was one. I never saw it. Or if I did, I've blocked it out of my memory. Pretty bad memory, because it was a pretty traumatic experience in my life, and you don't really make great memories when things are traumatic. So that period in my life, I don't think I ingested as much as I should have into my brain. So I'm thinking now I need a family crest. And Darkling, the word, it means like the darkening sky. Like the darkling sky is like it's getting darker in the evening. But also, like etymologically, it could mean the little dark thing. Like if a dark is a sort of entity, a darkling is like a baby dark or like a little dark. That's not a word that is used ever, but when you look at the construction of words, that is a possible interpretation of the word darkling. And so it's like, how do I then create a family crest around this concept? And maybe it is, script editing work that I do, I have something called Little Dark Story House, which is like a little ghost, and that's my little logo. A story house that you can come to, like any sort of artisan house, and like a fashion house or whatever, but it's a story house and you can come to, and we will help you make your stories better for like little lost stories. It's a little dark story house. So that's something that I had come up with, but I don't want my family crest to be a ghost. So I'm ruminating on that. I'm thinking on that. It's something that I'm probably going to come back to a few times over the next few months. If at any point I get any amount of money, I might actually enlist somebody to help me draw it or make one. But I'm not good enough at drawing and I don't have the programs. I'm not paying Adobe. I'm so sorry. I stopped paying for Adobe because it was so much money and it was every year. And I was like, guys, I used to be able to buy this one off and use it for like 5 years before it became obsolete. I cannot deal with the subscription model. It makes me annoyed. So if you have any suggestions on a family crest and like what's cool, let me know. I don't want it to be too like gothic and emo. My name's Darkling. It's dark. But, you know, I think there's got to be a sprinkling of that. Just, to, you know, got a feeling, got a bit of an inkling that this is going to be one of those days. So I feel like I've sort of talked out everything I need to talk out, which for me is sort of the point of this. And also to entertain, I feel like that's not for me to decide. I feel like that's for somebody else to decide. And I can't get bogged down in the external validation of it all. That's backsliding. If I'm honest with myself, that's not going to go well. So there you have it. That's me caught up. And if you want to let me know what's been going on with you, that'd be cool. Just like comment or like maybe actually what would be awesome is if you could rate on Apple Podcasts, my podcast. Do I care about that? I think I do actually. I think I do care about that because I'm not embarrassed by this anymore. I used to be really embarrassed by this and embarrassed by what I'd said, but now I'm like, I don't know. I think it's like proven effort. It's just showing that I can do something over and over again, even if nobody else cares, I care. And it's not that nobody else cares. It's just, you know, I think I'm now not worried about other people finding the podcast, which I think I was for a while. I was like, what if people find it and then they think it's stupid? Okay, they think it's stupid. Same with my TikTok. I mean, I'm definitely still blocking people that I work with when I see them on my For You page. I'm like, I recognize that face. You are blocked. You do not get to see my content. But I think the podcast is very different. I think if somebody commits to, if they know me in real life and they commit to spending 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour with me alone talking, at that point, it's not my fault. At that point, if you think it's stupid, then you're the embarrassing one because you listened to the whole thing. But I don't think it's stupid. I think it's fine. I think it's great. I think it's useful for me. So love it. Really happy with it. Really glad. Thanks for coming to the session. Thanks for your openness today and listening. And don't forget you're a babe. Thanks. The Girl Records is brought to you by bangersandmash.site. Head over to see what literal growing pains look like and join us in the forum to get some conversations started. You can follow us on socials at _bangersmag, or you can follow me, Hannah Darkling, at HJDarkling. Don't worry, all of the links for these will be in the description below. Give us a like if you enjoyed this episode and be sure to share it with a friend who's trying to get their shit together in the very specific way I discussed. Thanks for listening and don't forget, you're a babe.